Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm trying something new here, folks, so I will know later if it's working out. I'm trying a little bit of something new on the show. And it seems to be working okay. Let's see, but I'll tell after the episode is over. All right. Okay. Once again, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. My guest today, author John Thibault. Or is it Thibault? Okay, we'll find out when he gets to the show. Author John Thibault. All right, and commentary on the George Wilder Jr. Show. But I want to say one thing here. The Cubs are going to the Super Bowl. The Cubs are going not to the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, folks. I am so excited. I said the wrong thing. The Cubs are in the World Series. They are in the World Series. They've got there. I mean, after 71 years of losses, the last time the Cubs were in the playoffs, I believe they're saying it was 1945. And the last time they won a World Series was 1908. And they're playing the Cleveland Indians. And some of the Cubs problems over the years has also been the Cleveland Indians problem. So I want to say, hey, wow. I mean, the Cubs, they're going to play tomorrow night. This is Monday, October 24th. And the World Series will start tomorrow and on Fox. So if you guys can't afford $4,000 a ticket, then I would suggest, yeah, the scalpers are out there, folks. For almost $4,000 a ticket to watch the Cubs in the Super Bowl. If you want to go out to the Wrigley Field, it's going to be a monster. But, you know, some people have it. They can pay that kind of thing. But yours truly, no. I'm going to be in the comfortability of my own living room. And we're going to be watching the World Series. I'm about to say the Super Bowl. And speaking of Super Bowl, the Bears will never go to the Super Bowl. These guys are just such. I mean, we should probably start calling them the Bad News Bears, because that seems what they are, the Bad News Bears. They're 1-6. They've won one game and they've lost six, and they're hurt, banged up, talentless. I'm hearing that Jay Cutler will be back, and that's here or there, but on Monday, play Monday on Halloween. If you're listening to the show, if you're podcasting this show later on, you know that this is a later, earlier show. I'm sorry, an earlier show, but still, it's a good show. And let's get back to the Cubs, because that's really where people are at right now, is the Cubs. And it's phenomenal, folks. It's just phenomenal. I've said this before on this show. This group of Cubs, and there's been a lot of them, but this particular group of Cubs, these are young men, talented men, confident, and just awesome. What else can you say? These guys are awesome. They made the playoffs last year. However, they fizzled out, I believe. I mean, they lost all four games. But this time, they have gone all the way. All the way. I have to give it to their coach. You know, I may not like his lifestyle, but hey, wow, he's a great coach, and he done this for the Chicago Cubs. And their manager, I mean, the manager had to go out and pick the best players, or either find the best players that he could, and he found some of these young boys, these young kids, and with kids of their own compared to my age and their age, their kids. And this was something. And the adulation will continue, because I'm going to tell you, folks, I think the Cubs are going to do it. I think they're going to do it this year. I think they're going to win. Actually, going into this World Series starting tomorrow, Tuesday, on into the week, the Cubs, the Chicago Cubs are favorite. They are favorite to win. Of course, they should be. I'm pretty sure that they've won more regular season games than the Indians, the Cleveland Indians. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, we're going to be watching it, and of course, you're going to be watching it too if you're a baseball fan. I don't know a person out there who's not a baseball fan, but there are some people who don't like or care about sports. That's okay. But I think the majority of people who live in this town who are Chicagoans do care about the Cubs. They care. And you got these politicians, they're trying to take advantage of it. They're trying to act as if they're the ones who are responsible for the Cubs being as great as they are. Don't buy that crap. Don't buy it. They're going to try to use this, since this is the political season, and it's only 2 weeks away from the election. They're going to try and tie the election into the Super Bowl, into the World Series. I keep saying Super Bowl. I guess because I want the Chicago Bears to go to the Super Bowl. That's not going to happen. One sports person was saying, sports reporter was saying, the Bears might go 1-6, 1-15. 1-15 mean they're going to win one game and lose 15. I doubt it. I don't think they're going to go to the playoffs or the Super Bowl, the Bears. But I do think maybe they may get four or five wins out of this before the season is over. But they are no way going to the playoffs, let alone the Super Bowl. So I intertwine those two things, Super Bowl, World Series sometimes. Because I'm a Chicagoan, and I live in Chicago, of course. And you want your team to win. You want your team to represent the city. And And the Cubs are doing a fine job of representing the city. The Blackhawks, they're playing now. They're doing pretty good. But their season is just starting, just like the Bears, Chicago Bears. Another Stanley Cup wouldn't be too bad. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, Illinois. It is 6 o'clock straight up. My guest is author John Thelbert. He'll tell me how to pronounce that later when he gets here. Chicago Cubs going to the World Series, first time since 1945. What a talented bunch of young men. Go Cubs. Success in the World Series. And you know what? And this is the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're all about making the world a better place, one show at a time. We are about making the world a better place, one show at a time. And that's what it's all about, folks. Chicago radio DJ and host for 70 years, Herb Kent has passed away. I was despondent when I heard that. He passed away over this last weekend. He's gone, but his legacy will live on. Who else wears a cowboy hat in a radio station? Herb Kent was one of the best. He had one of the most unique voices. I mean, I had been listening to the guy forever, you know, and he was one of those guys that really, really, you know, if you listen to him, you became a fan immediately. It wasn't just only the music he was playing. It was the man himself. Great voice, great person, great humanity, great activist, you name it. Herb Kent was all of that. He said he wanted to die, do what he's doing. He wanted to die, do what, and he did. He did. He did his radio show last Saturday. He did it. A few hours later, he was gone. Sunday morning, he was gone. So he did what he wanted to do. He lived and died right up to the last moment doing what he loves, and that was spinning records, making music, being a community leader, an activist, you know, a concerned citizen on the radio. And he spun some good records, Motown, you name it, James Brown, Temptations. He was all about good music. Four Tops. He's going to be missed. He's going to be missed. And the tributes, as I speak right now, the tributes are constantly, they still are pouring in, because it was just a day or so ago from this episode that he passed away. When I first saw it, that Herb Kent had passed away, I didn't believe it. I said, I got to get some confirmation on this, you know. But he passed away at 88 years old. There's no cause for his death. There's no autopsy so far. But, you know, I don't know if he actually passed away in his sleep or not. We have to wait and to hear if that's confirmed. But he is truly gone. 88 years old. You know, I mean, 88 is a pretty long time to be on the earth. And his legacy will live on long and long and long. And For his family, my condolences to his family. We loved him. He was great. He was always on the radio. Every Saturday, he was on the radio all the way up till his death. And so he did what he loved doing. And that's what I try to tell a lot of people, you know, do what you love and do it right up to the last moment that you, you know, that you're no longer here. And that's what I'm planning on doing, you know, because there's nothing like doing what you love until you can't do it anymore. And I say, do what you love and don't let other people stop you from doing what you love, you know, and my condolences once again to his family. It's still hard to take. It's still unbelievable. The guy's been around for 70 years. He's been broadcasting for 70 years. He first got his paid radio job, I believe, in 1949. So, you know, he was a fixture. He was a fixture on the radio, and everybody who worked with him, as I'm talking now, they're talking about what it was like to work with him, what it was like to be around him. And it was all positive. It's all positive. This guy was great at what he did. And he has influenced a lot of other people, a lot of other DJs, talk show hosts, and all of this throughout the radio industry. Okay, let me put it that way. And I'm pretty sure he would have loved to have been around to see the Cubs go to the World Series. But I'm sure he was around during their playoff stand. But, you know, because he would be talking about it. I mean, he would be so he would be probably more happy for the Cubs than the Cubs are happy for themselves. Herb Kent, the cool gent. I remember he would, on some of his shows, he would have the Jim Chew Creeper and all of these kind of things. I didn't know he was in theater, but you learn stuff after people pass away. And the Jim Chew Creeper, we used to listen to that on the radio, and it was humorous. It wasn't, I don't think it was meant to be scary or frightened. The things that Herb Kent came up with were meant to be humorous and, you know, to get you to listen to a show, and he was very successful at that. Herb Kent, the cool gent, dead at the age of 88. He died over the weekend. And, you know, whoever's going to fill his shoes, they will be big shoes to fill. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here. We're trying something new, folks. So if it doesn't come across well, I will find out pretty soon. So we're in a transition kind of speak. All right, you can always follow me on Facebook, follow me on Blog Talk Radio, follow me right here, Blog Talk Radio, Twitter. I'm all over the place, Google, and I'm everywhere. I'm grabbing something here. You know something? Let's talk about a little politics, Donald Trump. I think if Donald Trump had not have been so crazy and so weird and such a liar, I think if Donald Trump wasn't the person that we all know him to be, I think he would probably be leading this election. I think he will be stomping Hillary Clinton in this election. But Donald Trump, as I've said so many times, Donald Trump is Donald Trump's worst enemy. Donald Trump is his own worst enemy. And right now, I mean, the election is 2 weeks away, and Donald Trump is losing. He's losing big time. And as we all know, he's blaming the media. He's saying it's rigged, and he's telling his supporters, do not believe the polls. And there are times when he himself said that he is losing. Sometimes his surrogates, the people he sent around to go on TV to defend him, they admit that he's losing. But then again, he turns it back around and say, I'm not losing. Sure, there are some polls saying he's not losing, but majority of those polls are bogus. And Early voting has started today, right now in the city of Chicago, and the turnout is phenomenal. Just as in other states around the United States of America, early voting has started in six other states, including right here in Illinois. And what I'm hearing, the turnout is phenomenal. And, you know, and when the turnout is phenomenal like this in these states, it benefits, no doubt, it benefits the Democrats. The Republicans are saying right now that they are afraid that Donald Trump's problems are going to take them down. And it's possible. It is possible. Anything is possible. And they are afraid. Yet, even though they're afraid that Donald Trump's and his problems are going to trickle down into their races, some of these Republicans refuse to denounce Donald Trump and his actions and also his scandals that are all over the place. Even though Donald Trump says it's not happening, but you have to think again when you have this guy on tape, on video, saying and doing some of the things that he says he doesn't do. And Hillary Clinton is taking advantage of that. The Democrats are taking advantage of that. I mean, we got Bruce Rauner in the state of Illinois. I mean, this guy is spending $31 million and the Republicans are, you know, sending him more money to try to upseat Michael Madigan. And I think Bruce Rauner is going to have a hard time at it because he has that anchor around his neck, and that anchor is Donald Trump. That anchor is Donald Trump. So I don't think that Bruce Rauner is going to gain any seats in the Illinois legislature. I think the Democrats are going to gain more seats. So in that case, if the Democrats gain more seats in the Illinois legislature, they will be able to override anything that this guy tried to put forth. Because Bruce Rauner wants power. He wants control. He wants to control everything. He wants to control the state of Illinois, including Chicago. He wants control. Right now, he doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. Michael Madigan has the control. Bruce Rauner wants it. He wants it bad. So he's spending millions and millions and trillions of dollars to try to control the state of Illinois. He wants to do it the way he wants to do it and how he wants to do it. And he's also, Bruce Rauner is also the governor of Illinois. He's also trying to influence outside elections. What I mean outside elections, elections in other adjacent states, Wisconsin, you know, Michigan, Detroit. He's trying to influence other elections by, you know, pouring money into other state elections, including Illinois. I think that's wrong. I think he should focus on Illinois, not another state. He's not the governor of Wisconsin. He's not the governor of Ohio. He's not the governor of Detroit. He's the governor of Illinois. Yet he's trying to influence those states with buying Republicans. He's using his money. But one of the things the voters have to say is, we're not going to let money influence an election. We are going to look at the candidates. We're going to evaluate them. We're going to vet them. We're going to deal with them. And we're going to vote for them in that way. Money cannot influence this election, even though these rich guys like Bruce Rauner, they're pouring money into these races like crazy. What is that money used for? Commercials. Saturating your television with commercials. That's all, basically commercials. Radio commercials, TV commercials, internet commercials, all over the place. But, you know, we have to do something. I mean, the election is 2 weeks away. We got to get out here and vote. And we got to vote blue. Democrats. We have to stop these Republicans, because these guys, in my estimation, from what I understand and what I've noticed and experienced, these guys are up to no good. The other day, Bruce Rauner said he's not heartless. Yeah, well, you can tell that to the people. You can tell that to the families where you cut house daycare. 70,000 children out in the streets. Parents don't know where to at one time. Okay. We don't have a budget. We have a half-ass budget. We don't have a full budget. We've been fighting almost a year, just about a year for a budget. And now when he comes up with anything, he comes up with a half-ass budget, 6 month budget, which will be time to vote on another budget come January 2017. So this guy is totally bad for Illinois, but he doesn't give a damn. He doesn't care what we think. He doesn't give a shit who we are. He knows that he wants power. He knows that he doesn't want Michael Madigan in the legislature of Illinois, because Michael Madigan, he is a powerful individual. He's a powerful politician. He's been around for 30 or 40 years. And you got Bruce Rauner, who wants to do term limits, which is fine. But, you know, I agree. I don't think politicians should be I don't think politicians in the legislature anywhere should do over 8 or 10 years. I think they should be gone and there should be new blood. But good luck with that, because Madigan is a powerful guy. He can really hurt you in an election, especially when you're trying to get rid of him and get rid of the people who are adjacent to him, Democrats in general. So we'll see how that go. We got 2 weeks to go into the election, but I'm telling people out there, vote blue. And a lot of people don't like Donald Trump, you know, and Donald Trump is going to take a lot of these other Republicans, going to take them down with him. And hopefully that one of those people would be Bruce Rauner of the state of Illinois, you know, because if Bruce Rauner loses this, if he loses this thing in November, you know, he won't be able to get his agenda passed or nothing that he wants passed. And if he tries to obstruct the Democrats in the legislature, they can override him without any input from him at all. This is why he's trying his best to control everything. He wants this, and he's using his money to do it. He's not talking about issues. Rauner is not talking about policy. He's not talking about what he's going to do for the state of Illinois. He wants power so he can control. And hopefully that will not happen if we get out here and vote. And what I'm seeing and noticing right now, Democrats are united. I mean, we're early voting now. This is early voting in the city of Chicago and among other states throughout America. We're early voting, and early voting, as they all have been saying, early voting benefits the Democrats, and it does. And Donald Trump has been so polarizing, people are getting out there to make sure that guy don't become our president. I mean, you look at it this way, you know, Sarah Palin would be given a cabinet post. His weird looking children would be given a cabinet post. Remember his wife? She plagiarized Michelle Obama's speech during the convention, the first day of the convention. And everybody seemed to have forgotten that. Donald Trump seemed to have forgotten it. And he's just he's not good for America. And America is showing it. They're saying it, and they're voting. They are voting. Donald Trump is telling people to get out there and vote. His people probably to vote for him. And as always, he's saying that the polls are rigged and this is used against them. The media, he's against the media. He's talking about saying things awful about the media. But this, hey, what can you say? This is Donald Trump. This is what he's about. This is what he's about. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. I'm all over the place. And let me say once again, go Cubs. I mean, these guys have been phenomenal. And the bookers, the bookies, and everybody else, we're saying, they're saying, and you're saying that the Cubs are going to take this. Take it away, Cubs. All right, one of my favorite people, Elizabeth Warren, says Donald tells Donald Trump nasty people, nasty women, which Donald Trump, I believe he called Hillary a nasty woman. And Elizabeth Warren is saying nasty women vote. So that's interesting. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for downloading and podcasting the show. It always means so much to me. Let's go right to the phones, folks. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, George, hi, this is John Tebow calling in.
Yeah, Tebow. John Tebow, welcome to the show. You are... Yeah, no problem, no problem. Okay, give us a... Give us a bio and tell us a little bit about yourself and why should we listen?
Good. Well, thanks for having me on. I recently wrote a book in called How to Change a Law, and it's basically a citizen's guide so that you can get involved in improving your community, influencing your leaders, and impacting the world. It's basically a do-it-yourself manual for folks who want to do grassroots organizing and changing laws.
Oh, man, that's great. That's wonderful because, you know, I always try to tell people every day, get out there in your community and do something in your community, be a part of your community. But a lot of people don't know how to do that, and this book would help them to do that. Am I right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the idea, so that people have practical steps. And just, you know, to put it in perspective, many of the things that are in the book are things that folks at the top levels actually do. And you asked a little bit about my backstory. So I learned a lot of this when I worked at MCA, which was the parent to Universal Studios. And I was working in government affairs at the time. And the kinds of things that, you know, large corporations and trade associations and, quote, special interests do is they figure out their issue, so they get clear on their message, they build coalitions and bring people together, and then they have the resources or the money to go and then delegate it and hire either lobbying firms or public affairs groups to make that happen.
Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. So are you incorporating some of your own experiences in this book?
Yeah, actually quite a bit. I realized after, you know, one of the things I think I mentioned in the bio that I may have sent off to you was I was the first vice president of marketing at eBay when we were just, you know, five guys in a room. And so I switched from sort of the entertainment field to the tech field. And then by 2008 or so, as I was talking to friends, I found everybody was frustrated. It didn't matter what side of the aisle you were on or whether you felt you had political connections or not. They were just saying they couldn't get anything done. And that really wasn't my experience when I was working in government affairs. I mean, we got stuff done regarding trade policy and all kinds of things. And so I realized that most people don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and part of the book is to write about that, the information available.
Okay, so if someone wanted to be a part of their community, they wanted to, you know, help out in some way to help other people get involved in learning about their community, their city, their state, their country, this book would give them an insight into doing those things.
Yeah, absolutely. I tried to boil it down so it doesn't come off as you know, this highfalutin political complex kind of book. It comes off, okay, you know, really simply, and it's written for just, you know, ordinary people.
It's easy to read.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it's easy to understand.
Yeah, I mean, what I do is I walk you through the steps it takes, and then I'm also the founder and CEO of a company called iLobby, and the platform iLobby.co connects with the book. So if you walk through the steps in the book, obviously it allows you to do this. One way to think of it is think of it as, you know, like change.org or Kickstarter for issues.
Oh, okay. All right. What percentage of people in the in America, the United States, that you think are should be doing something great or politically connected in their community that are having a hard time doing it? Because there's a lot of people out here who aren't politically minded, and then there's people out here who are. Like myself, for instance, I want to get more involved into community leadership, you know, just about all of my life. So how would I, as a novice, start from the bottom to help out my community if I should go out and buy your book?
Yeah, so you're probably past the first stage. Let me come back at it a different way. I think there are three problems that affect all of us from getting involved. And the first one is apathy. So if you ask me how many people in America are apathetic about politics, I would have to say it's a very, very high percentage. And the reason for that...
I would agree.
Yeah. And part of it is people have tried things in the past and they're frustrated because the system is complex. They don't have access. They don't know how to get through it. And the rules are so complicated. And you see that in terms of the kind of actions that people take, they do ineffective things. You know, there's a great quote from Martin Luther King, which I saw recently, where he said, "A riot is the language of the unheard." And I thought, you know, that's really true. I mean, people are rioting and demonstrating because they don't have any other way to make their voices heard. So the first part is once you get past what you just talked about, the apathy piece, and you say, okay, I'm going to get engaged. I want to do something. The next thing for you to figure out is what is your message? You know, what is the issue that concerns you the most? Mm-hmm. And you could pick something really big, but that it would probably, you know, overwhelm you. So that's why I say it's better to start small, focus on something at the local level, and move from there. The second part is access. You know, you need to either, and let me use the local level because it's simpler. You need to, you know, either go to town hall or have some friends or find like-minded people and get together, be very clear and specific about your issue and make your voices heard. I mean, that's part of what needs to happen. And then the third part that holds us all back is really the question of affordability. And it could be in the form of a lack of time or resources or know-how or whatever. And these are the obstacles that, quote, the special interests have surmounted. And that's why they stay involved in the game. They're either very proactive getting change done because they understand the value that gets returned. And they know that it's a long game. It's a marathon. It isn't just like, well, I'm going to go in, I'm going to tell my representative what I want, and he's going to do it. It just doesn't happen that quickly. It's all about relationship building.
Yeah, I've heard that before, that you start in your community, you hang around or be around like-minded people, and you're going to have an issue that you want to bring up, that you're going to, whether you're going to try and change it or implement it some sort of way. Right. You do have to do those things. And do you have a copy of your book with you?
Yes, I do.
Can you read us an excerpt, a little small excerpt?
Sure. Okay. We are at a turning point where we need to get involved in setting policy. Policy discussions lead to laws. Laws enable decisions. Decisions lead to action and solutions to our global problems. So it's a journey. Before you begin on any journey, you need a map. and this book will give you a bird's eye view of the new territory.
So that's like the prologue or?
Yeah, that's part of that, yeah.
Oh, sounds great. Where can we? Go ahead.
I'm sorry, did you want me to pick another section or?
No, that's good. I just wanted to know where can we pick that book up? Where can we find it?
Yeah, so the book is available on Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's available as a Kindle version, paperback, and mm-hmm. Audible, all three versions. If you want to stay in touch, you can also go to changealaw.com and mm-hmm. sign up, and you'll end up on our email list, and then you'll get more information. I'm building a course as well, and there's other videos and support materials.
Oh, I think you're doing a great job. This show is all about making the world a better place, and one of the ways you can make the world a better place is to get involved in your community and doing something positive, especially if there's a lot of negativity in and around that environment. And I think this is great. I admire what you're doing, and I totally want to read the book. And maybe it's something that even I can learn, you know. And, I think that's wonderful. Is there anything else you would like to say before we run out of time?
Yeah, just really, mm-hmm. if I had to give some takeaways, I would mm-hmm. say that this really is a thing that if you're optimistic, you can get something done. There is a way to do it. And it's really just a matter of sort of modeling what some of the mm-hmm. top sort of public policy people do. And it's something that anybody can do. And it's probably easier than you think.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It sounds great. I'm really, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for that little bit for that, because I think a lot of people are really, really interested in doing something in their community, and this is a point where they can start from.
Absolutely.
All right, John. Thanks for being on the show. Bye bye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
No problem. All right, that was John Thibault on the George Waddle Jr. Show, talking about basically community leadership. I think that's a great book. I mean, it's on Amazon, and you guys go out and pick that up, on Amazon or, wherever it's available. I think it's great. I'm gonna pick it up because leadership is one of the criterias to why I'm doing this show. We will be right back. Thanks for being on the show. We will be right back. Listen to this, folks.
My son has been arrested for walking while black.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. In the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, and in the case of whoever, in case of Sandra Bland, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
Yeah, I want to say something about community leadership. I do think people should get involved in their local politics. I really do think that, and I think people should even get involved in global politics. I think it's great. I mean, get involved. It's up to you to make changes to your situation or to the situation around you. You have to get involved. And I think this is a great book. And check it out. All right. And I think it's a great book and a great subject. That's where leadership's come from. That's where leadership comes from. It comes from you. And I do think everybody, most people have that leadership in them. They just got to find a way of getting it to emerge. All right, you've been listening to the George Waddle Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're looking at Donald Trump here. And as I was saying, Elizabeth Warren, to Donald Trump. Nasty women have really had it with guys like you. She's something else. Leaders like this, we need leaders like this. And this book, what I just got through talking about with John, this book will lead you on that path. It will lead you on that path. If you don't know the name of the book, it's on Amazon. John Thibault, T-H-I-B-A-U-L-T. And check that book out, because I'm going to check it out because I love leadership. And I think I once did a show, a total show on leadership. And that's what it's going to take. I mean, you can't sit in the house. You can't lay around the house. You can't lay around the couch and expect things to get done. You gotta be proactive and get things done for yourself. You know, be a leader on your own. Be a leader in your community. Help out whatever you can. I mean, you don't have to have money all the time. I mean, you can give of yourself, your time, your efforts. That's a great thing. And you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Here we go. All right. All right, Senator Elizabeth Warren of the Massachusetts complained campaign with Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton on Monday, arguing that women have had it with Donald Trump. Speaking at a rally in Manchester, New Hampshire, Warren sharply criticized Trump's boast about sexually assaulting women, his disparaging remarks about women's appearances, and other sexist comments he's made over the years. And all of these, and I can understand it, but all of this Donald Trump denies. Even like I said earlier in the show, he denies a lot of these things. And get this, these things are on tape, they're on video, but he still denies it, you know. And if I had to say that Donald Trump abuse a lot of these women, I would probably say, yeah, all of them. I don't know, but I do know that he has abused, because he's on tape saying it. He's on tape gloating about it. He's on tape feeling good about saying it. This is not locker room talk. They don't talk like this in a locker room or a sweat room or a gym room. That's just an excuse for him getting caught, you know? So Elizabeth Warren is saying, wow, Donald Trump aggressively disrespects more than a half of the human beings in this country. And I think he does. He thinks that because he has money that he can call women fat pigs and bimbos. Oh, wow. I guess I'm thinking Donald Trump never thought stuff like this would come back to haunt him. He probably never thought this would come back to haunt him. He just think about how many women or people or anybody Donald Trump has paid off for them not to, you know, release something scandalous about him. You know, he done paid off a lot of people, you know, quote, well, I've got news for you, Donald. And I'm quoting Elizabeth Warren. She's saying, well, I've got news for you, Donald. Women have had it with guys like you, and nasty women have really had it with guys like you. Okay, she continued. Recent polls have shown Clinton with a 20-point lead over Donald Trump among women. So he is screwed among women. Donald Trump is screwed among women. He's screwed among Hispanics. He's screwed among Blacks, the majorities. And he just screwed, period. I mean, this guy, he's not going to win this. He's not going to win this thing. And yeah. However, as I've said on the previous shows, I don't think Donald Trump is going to go away. He is not going to go away. Donald Trump, they're talking about Donald Trump buying a network on cable and starting Trump TV or something like that. I'll never watch it. I don't think too many people are going to watch it. Not because Donald Trump and his scandals, but because cable news, cable television is down in the ratings. A lot of people are giving up on cable TV because it's too expensive and it's a ripoff in some cases. Cable viewers viewing is down. People are cutting the cord on cable, period. I mean, this is real. So if Donald Trump does launch a television show, or a television network, he's not going to have too many people watching except for maybe his supporters out there and their loons, you know, so he's not going to have too many people watching. So he don't want to invest in that and lose money. Well, he's a billionaire. I guess at least he says he's a billionaire because, hey, we haven't seen his taxes yet. We don't know yet. But assuming that he is a billionaire, I would think he, you know, wouldn't want to lose money, but who knows? All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and we are talking Cubs, Chicago Cubs. I just want these guys to win. I think they're a great set of young men who are very, very talented, who are very, very positive about what they're doing. And you have to look at it this way, folks. These guys did not listen. Every one of these talented people on the Cubs and the other baseball teams, they did not listen to people who told them that they couldn't do it. They did not listen to people who said that you're not going to make it. They were positive that they knew what they were there about their talent. They were positive about where they wanted to go and what they wanted to do. And they stuck in it. They worked hard. They worked to bust their asses. And now they're in the World Series. And that can go for any person out there. You want to do something, as any young person out there, you want to do something with your life, do it. Do not let other people hold you back, especially when they do not have the talent that you have. Do not let people hold you back. You want to be a community activist. You want to be a community, what was that Obama was? Community activist, community worker, whatever. You want to go out there and do something to help the world out? Do it. Do it. Don't let nobody tell anything you want to do. It could be anything. You want to sell pizzas. You want to open up a pizza shop. Do it. You want to open up a drugstore. Do it. You want to open up a restaurant. Do it. You want to open up a chain of stores. Do it. Don't let people tell you what you can't do. Because they're out there. There are so many people I have talked to on social media and other places that have said that their own family holds them back. Their own family, they don't believe in them. Their own family are laughing at them, downing them, putting them down. Their own family do not believe in them. Well, then I'm going to tell you something. If your own family do not believe in you, along with a lot of other people, you have to get them out of your life if you're going to make something of yourself. You do not let other people hold you back. You do not, because if you let other people, negative people, people who are not supporting you, if you let those kinds of people hold you back to keep you from your greatness, it will never happen. It will never happen, and they will have won. You want to be the best person that you can be. You cannot be the best person you can be if other voices inside of your head are telling you that you're nothing, you're fat, you're old, you're dumb, you're stupid. If you have voices inside of your head telling you that, get those voices out of your head. Only you know how good, smart, intelligent, and talented you are. But you have to be a go-getter. You ain't gonna get. You have to get out there and do it. You have to get out there in the world and meet people who know people. Don't just go out there and just meet anybody. You want to meet people who know people. You want to meet people that can advance your career or advance your ideas that you have for a career. You have to meet people who know people. Meet people who know people. I'm saying it again. Meet people who know people who can advance your ideas or your talents. Stay away from those who can't. The majority of the time, the people who are telling you that you can't do something, that you shouldn't do something, or you haven't got any talent, or you can't do this, you can't do that, you know, I'm not supporting you or whatever. Most of these people are nothing and nobody's themselves. They're nothing, because if they had anything, if they had a life of their own, if they had talent of their own, if they had abilities of their own, if they were going somewhere in life, they wouldn't be so busy trying to make sure that you do not get anywhere. Usually it's the people with nothing to lose. They don't have anything. They're losers themselves. Try to keep you back when you know that you have the talent to go far and to do things. You want to start off as a community leader. I mean, look at President Obama. He started off as a community leader. Look where he is. The White House. Bernie Sanders started as a community leader. Look what he has achieved, and he's 75 years old. So do not let age stop you from doing what you want to do. The only thing that can stop you is yourself. You have to stop yourself. Other people, they may, you know, tell you you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. You can. Get can't out of your vocabulary. That should you should never say can't, because we can do anything we want. We can get out there and do anything. We can make a difference in the world. We can make the world a better place, and we can earn money while doing it. So it doesn't matter what you want to do. You want to be a football player, baseball player, you know, hockey player, volleyball player, anything you want to do in life, be the best at it. Because if you're the best at what you do, even if you're making pizzas, hot dogs, hamburgers, whatever you want to do, be the best at it. Because if you're the best at what you do, they will have a hard time trying to replace you or lay you off. But then again, to keep people from laying you off and misusing you in the workplace, start your own business. Start your own business. Of course, you're going to have to work, you know, I mean, you got to have somewhere where you're going to start from. You're going to have to start from the bottom, you know, save money, you know, start your own business. And when you're trying to start your own business, make sure you have positive and supportive people around you. You're going to need those. You can't make it without positive people. You can't do it without those around you helping you. They don't have to help you financially. They can just say, hey, wow, you're doing a good job. Great, I'm pulling for you. That is support enough. Support doesn't have to mean going in your pocket, digging out money. But yeah, I mean, you can do that if you want to invest in talent, of course, and then you get a great return on that, hopefully. But anyway, do it for yourself. Get out there and do things for yourself. Stop working for someone else. Because I've said this before, when you're working for someone else, you're only making that person rich. You're not going to, you're living from check to check or every other check. This guy is getting richer, because when you sat down for that interview, for that job, that interview, that person interviewing you is going to want to know what you're going to do for them. They're not looking for what they can do for you. It's about what you can do for them. How are you going to make them money? How are you going to make their company prosper and grow? That's what they want. They're going to pay you a small salary. But I mean, you can do this type of thing for years. I mean, you can work, but save money, invest, you know, put your money where it can grow. Then after a few years, leave that place or that workplace or that job and start your own business. Do it for yourself. I mean, get away from pushy managers. Get away from overzealous supervisors. Get away from a lot of employees who do nothing but bully you, taunt you, and run back and tell the boss. You want to get out there and do these things for yourself. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Blog Talk, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. I'm sorry, folks, about my rant. But, you know, but that's what it's all about. It's all about making you the best person that you can do. But you can't do that if you're around negative people. Even if you have to get rid of all of those negative people around there and go out there alone by yourself. But be confident. Be confident. Be smart. Be intelligent. And have something to offer. You can leave those negative voices behind in the dust. But I can tell you this. Once you wind up making it without, and they, once you wind up winning over those negative voices and the negative people, they're going to come right back to you. Oh, you're successful now. And you have the right to slam the door in their faces. All right, you've been listening to the George Waldo Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And it's been great. I'm still thinking about the World Series, folks. And it is so great. I mean, it is wonderful. At least we have something in Chicago other than the crime statistics that we can be joyful about and something to look forward to. So now all across the world, people are talking about the Chicago Cubs and the World Series. They're not talking about it. Well, there was 600 people murdered in the city of Chicago since January. They're not talking about that. And that's great. They're not talking about the weekend shootings. They're not talking about any of, even though these things are still prevalent. But we have something other than crime statistics. We have something other than police brutality. We have something other than black on black crime. We have the Chicago Cubs, and they are going to make this. I don't know if you guys out there listening, if you're into sports or not, but anyway, we have the Chicago Cubs, and that's great. There's something positive of coming out of this city, something positive. If you're living in Timbuktu, it's something positive that you hear coming out of the city of Chicago instead of somebody being shot in the back or some kid or being shot in their home, sleeping in the bed. I mean, this is great. I'm overwhelming beside myself because the Cubs have put Chicago on a national scale at something that's coming out of Chicago that's great. And these guys are totally, totally great. All right, you've been listening to the George Waldo Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm also an author, folks. I do write books. That's why I do have a lot of authors on the show. Showcasing their books. I mean, if you want to read something that I've written, go to www.amazon.com/author/gwilder. And a lot of the stuff is fiction, but it's great. I love writing because it's fun. It's fun. If it wasn't fun, I wouldn't do it. All right. And this is fun. Being on the radio is fun and interviewing people and talking to people and meeting people all around the world because this show have people on calls from all around the world, and that's a great thing. All right, we'll be right back. A little musical break.
Some of the things that keep us dumb. The media, in particular the local news, 50% of airtime is wasted on previews of the shallow stories that are coming up next. The leads
stories are usually the most disgusting and evil things they can dig up for that day. For instance, anything involving black youth will be a top story. Anything involving black youth and violence will be even on top of the top story. Anything involving black on black crime will be a top story. Anything involving black on white crime will be an even more top story. So you get the idea. They lie about everything. The weather reports are always wrong, except in places like Hawaii. And then they always have a daily health report by a, quote, specialist, except the people usually give out the wrong advice. And then they always end the report with, check with your doctor before following any of these tips. So that should tell you right there that it's questionable and suspect. Gas prices ending with 0.9 cents. I never quite understood this. Although I don't drive, I prefer to be driven. But I do observe things when I'm on the road. And in the early days, gas actually sold for 9.9 cents per gallon. So it wasn't dumb back then. But nowadays, it's ridiculous. And the day is coming when gas is going to cost 79.99 cents. And this display will look like this. Okay, this might be a West Coast thing, but it's gotten over here as well. I used to associate it with Valley Girls. Back in the 80s, 90s, we used to mimic the Valley Girls when they would say things like, oh, and I'm like so happy to like be here, and he's like really cute, and, you know, like was like the insert word for whatever you were getting ready to say. And it sounds ridiculous. It did back then, and it still does. Okay, I know a lot of you are big fans of Costco, Walmart, Sam's Club, but I got to say something about especially Costco's. Now, one, you have to buy a membership. What happened, people? Who's dumb enough to pay a store to allow them to shop there? That's number one. Then I heard they don't take food stamps. So there goes, you know, a big piece of your market, Costco, from the people who get food stamps. Why can't they shop with what their money's not good enough? So I just really have an issue with this because it's sort of like an elitist type thing. And I understand you have to buy in bulk and all of that. So, you know, me being single with no children living in my home, I don't see the need to buy in bulk. That's just the only thing I buy in bulk is toilet paper because I'm obsessed with running out of it. But other than that, I don't see stocking up on food or anything. Not at this point. At some point, it will become necessary, people, to stock up as we get closer to Armageddon. But for right now, you can still have just your little, you know, necessary items. But I don't like these Sam's Clubs, Costco's, and all these places that have turned it into just a real hustle. That's what it is. Okay, yeah, the prices are good. I get it, and you save money. But I understand it's always crowded in these places and that some of the deals are not that great. So bear that in mind when you go to these joints. Okay, so award shows are just an inexpensive way for the networks to bring out the top actors and actresses and performers and get them to appear in a TV show for free by offering them glory, a little gift bag, and some cheap little statues. That's really what it boils down to. Political parties are another hustle. In America, they have two goals: make the other party fail, and two, take money from lobbyists to refund re-election, to fund re-election campaigns, and then we re-elect them. That's pretty much what they do. Here's a little history for y'all. The Ford Model T got 24 miles per gallon, so what's our problem? Okay, useless ads. This is another way that they dumb down America. Millions of dollars are spent every day to advertise products that really don't need any advertising. For instance, Tampax. Everybody knows what they've got to do when that time comes. So to advertise them are just useless. This is something that you're taught at home. Before you even get out in public, you're taught about these things. So most people know what Tampax are for. And those ads, they just are making people dumber. Okay, another trend right now, which is also keeping America dumb, is the illusion that certain products, especially candy and dessert products like cake and stuff, are fat-free. To hell they are. I'm fat, and I eat fat-free stuff, and I'm still fat. So don't believe it. Okay, how they were able to pull this off, I don't know. But this is considered politically correct. A restaurant named Sambo's, and then you've got the sexy, and all of these things are stereotypical. You've got the sexy flight attendant, and then you've got my favorite, Aunt Jemima. Another case of political correctness is when they decided that calling homeless people bums were an insult, and so the word was changed to homeless. And I remember as a child hearing an adult say, oh, you better do this, you better do that, or you're going to grow up to be a bum. And now, of course, people don't tell their children, if you don't work, if you use drugs, if you spend all your money and don't pay your bills, you're going to wind up to be a bum. No, they tell them you're going to wind up to be homeless. And, you know, political correctness, I don't even know where that term came from. But we used to say, call a spade, and basically that, you know, that's derived from the card game. But the message and the connotation is the same. I call it like I see it. I was homeless, and I was homeless because of a lot of factors, but one of them actually was because I was a bum. I was a bum. When I didn't pay my rent, I was a bum. When I put my weed habit over my bills, I was a bum. And when I indulged in a lot of stuff that I couldn't afford, at a time when I couldn't afford it, I was a bum. So we call it like we see it. Another thing that these politically correct people have changed, because they assume that we have a problem with it, is that the handicapped are no longer called handicapped, they're called disabled. What's the difference? We still can't do things. I don't mind being called handicapped because I am unable to do the things that I used to do when I was not handicapped. However, it's considered more politically correct to refer to us as disabled. I don't see the difference. This is going to shock some of you, but most of you already know it. Most of that water you're buying, it's tap water. I've been drinking tap water. I put it in my fridge. I've been doing this for years. And guess what? I'm still here. You're wasting your money, folks. Most of that water came from someone's sink. Debit cards, another scam. If you can't control yourself with a credit card, then you definitely can't control yourself with a debit card either. The only difference is that the debit card is only fun while it has money on it, so you can't borrow against the debit card. And that was the whole purpose of creating it, so that these people who don't pay their bills don't have to worry about it. And speaking of dumbing down America, a lot of you can't even spell it. Katie Couric, she's the queen of sympathy journalism. Every interview she does almost has some tears. And this is, you know, what the the Illuminati eye of CBS wants us to believe that they care. Yeah, believe that. Speaking of the networks, Fox used to have a terror alert where they would put up these little graphs to describe, you know, what stage we were in terms of the current threat level. And to the left is the one for grown-ups, and then on the right is, you know, little one for kids. They didn't do the one on the right. That actually is from somewhere else. But the one on the left, that was what they used to do. And they stopped this, thank God, back in 2008. And that was a good move, Fox, because it was dumb. Okay, another very cruel and deceitful dumbing down of us has been since the 60s. We've been pouring our hard-earned money into these charities for the cure for cancer. One, I believe they've had the cure all along, and two, it's a snow job on America because after 40 years, we are still giving these charities money. And these PhDs are still lying, telling us they're thinking up ways to cure cancer when they're really thinking up ways to get us to pay their salaries. So in over 40 years, if they haven't cured cancer, well, what do you think? You think it's coming? Okay, implants, whether it's breast or booty or whatever it is, this is another way that America has been dumbed down, especially you young girls who believe that this is what you need in order to have a successful and wonderful life. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you...
All right, welcome back to the George Waddle Jr. Show. That's dumbing down of America. But I want to say a little bit more about Herb Kent. We lost Herb Kent over the weekend. He was a DJ in the city of Chicago for 70 years. So we knew this guy. He's not an ordinary person. He's not an ordinary radio personality. This is Herb Kent. He's been on the air since 70 years. And he was a totally, totally legendary radio personality. He's dead at 88 years old. And a lot of the condolences are still coming in as I'm on the radio right now. He knew Chicago. He knew Dusty's. We used to sit around and listen to Herb Kent play Dusty's. Dusty's are just older songs, older songs of soul music and classical music. So he didn't play the new stuff. He always played the old stuff, and he called the old stuff Dusties. If you were a Herb Kent fan, you know what I'm talking about. Generations of family tuned their radios to Herb Kent, the cool gent, the legendary radio DJ with a soothing style, who helped launch the musical careers of greats such as The Temptations, Curtis Mayfield, Smokey Robinson, and others. His own resume spanned decades, beginning in the 1940s, folks, lasting all the way till Saturday morning when he hosted his final show broadcast on V103. He did it right up to his death, folks. He did it right up to his death, and his last show... right before he died, his last show was just as great as if it was his first show. Herb Kent. Kent died later Saturday night. He died later Saturday night. He had done a show earlier in the day. I guess he went home and he just passed away. And the radio station announced he was 88. Memorial arrangements are pending, and I'm pretty sure an autopsy is going to tell us what killed him, if not, you know, old age. The Southside native, who grew up in the Ida B. Wells housing project, had been described as a crossover pioneer and one of the most important figures in Chicago radio history. So just like I got through saying, he was not just an ordinary personality on the radio. Between 1962 and 1970, he was the star of stars at WVON. I remember that, devoting 15 minutes to every show to his stay in the school campaign. Yeah, he was talking about stay in school. He was a total activist. And he had developed a huge following in the Black community. His colleagues at V103, the radio station, described Kent as an iconic talent. So do I. Who for nearly 70 years entertained millions of listeners in Chicagoland and around the world. His passion for radio and work ethic was second to none, as Herb Kent worked to the very end by hosting what unexpectedly was his final V103 broadcast Saturday morning. This weekend. Actually, this is Monday. So 2 days ago. I mean, he died. He hosted his show. This is hard to take in. He hosted his show for the last time Saturday. And then after he hosted his show, I guess he went home and he died later on that evening. And that's something, because I've been listening to the guy forever. And, you know, music. Okay. It's our moment. It's our moment now to take his example, learn from his life, and teach young people. I've just got through saying it. Just like Herb Kent, I mean, he had a talent. He didn't let anybody anywhere tell him that he could not DJ. That he did not have a great voice, that he could not move people. He went out there and he had a great voice. He had a following. He had, I mean, for years and years and years, and he did it. He was talented until the end. I mean, there's so many people who die right up to the end and doing what they love. And, you know, a lot of us, we're all going to die. Everybody's going to die. Nobody's going to get out of this alive. But it's while we're here, we can be the best that we can be the best people we can be, help others out to get wherever they want to go. All right. You've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. And I want to say one more thing about the Cubs. I probably say two or three more things about the Cubs. 7:21 straight up Chicago time, 7:22. Straight up Chicago time, and the Cubs are in the World Series. I am so glad. I am so proud. The World Series starts tomorrow from this day, and it's going to be something to see. We're going to have a front row seat from my apartment here, and we're not going to go to the game because the tickets are phenomenal. I'm hearing almost $4,000 to be at the World Series, and then again, you may be sitting way in the back where the Cubs will look like little pinballs on the field at Wrigley Field. So I think the best, and then you're going to have to take public transportation downtown. You can't drive. That's ridiculous. You're going to have to take the train or something, ride your bike or whatever. But it's going to be phenomenal, folks. This is going to be phenomenal. And I will be back on the internet radio tomorrow, and I will tell you all about it if you don't know more about it than I do in the first place, because this is really phenomenal, and the Cubs are doing it. I just wish Herb Kent was alive so he can see this. I'm pretty sure he knew about the playoffs. Pretty sure he probably watched them. I'm pretty sure he broadcasted it on his radio show. I'm pretty sure he did. I mean, he just, you know, wow. Every time we lose someone in radio, I mean, it's like losing a brother. It really is. It's like losing a brother, because we're all in the same business and we're all about the same thing. And like I said before, earlier on the show, I do wish his family many condolences. Herb Kent, legendary Herb Kent, is dead at the age of 88.
the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl. Heaven help us all.
Herb Kent, the cool gent, was more than a radio legend. He was a brilliant and innovative genius who understood how to communicate to each and every generation that he lived through. His accomplishments were vast. And I just don't know what else to say. The guy was just good at what he did. He was and will always be a shining star, who taught us how to be passionately loved and love what we do. And that's what we have to do, folks. When we have to love what we do, we always have to love what we do. I mean, we have and love what we do. I don't know how else to say it, but gotta love what we do and keep striving to be the best. Herb Kent was 88 years old, and he did what he loved for 70 years and impressed a whole nation of people, teenagers, I mean, you know, youth. I mean, he was out there for them, and they were for him. I mean, and that's what we have to do. We got to find great leaders out here where the youth can have someone to look up to in case they don't have fathers or figures, anything like this. All right, we're just about off the air here. So I want to say one thing. Go Cubs, of course. Always say go Cubs. And I hope you guys join me tomorrow. You've been listening to the George Waddle Jr. Show. Thanks so much for everything. Bye-bye. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.